Dear Lord, I just pray that you bless this time together as we worship you. Bless the words that I'm about to say. Fill me with your spirit, that the words that come out are your words, not mine. In Jesus' name, amen. The lesson for today is the lesson we just read from Matthew chapter 10. And I'm going to be honest with you. When I read this, I was really excited. I said, this is a great sermon material. This is really easy to write a sermon on and work on. And, you know, it's what we've been talking about. In fact, last week you talked about the power and authority that God has. How God has the power over sickness. He has power over death. He has power over demons and power over nature. And now, in this word, he's telling us that we should go and do that. And I tell you, from up front, it is really easy to come up here. I'm thinking I'd write this sermon. Really easy to come up here and tell everybody in this room to go and do that, right? And as I'm preparing for this, and sitting and working on this and writing it out and going back and forth, boy, was I ever convicted. Because I struggled a lot, mostly last night, but more so even this morning and throughout the week, that how can I tell everybody else to do this when it's hard for me to do the same thing? So I'm starting out with that confession that this was something I really struggled with. But I'm excited to know that God is working in my life, especially over the last year, in a lot of these different areas. And I'm going to share with you some of those things that God has been doing in my life and how he's been blessing me, my family, in these areas and teaching me some really important lessons. I want to share that with you. And as we read God's word and we learn what he's got to share for us today, how that can apply to our life and how we can then go and do it as a family of Cross and Resurrection. So with that started, so often in the Bible, doesn't it make sense that, you know, you read something and you think, well, that's for other people, you know, I can handle this. Well, I think it's very clear here that as we study this, God is telling every single one of us that this applies to us. Let's just take a look at the disciples that Jesus asked for here. At the beginning of the gospel lesson, he lists the disciples. Now, are these all the high-powered, super-duper smart people of the day that Jesus chose? I've seen heads shake. No, you're right. These aren't the Pharisees and the Sadducees who are highly regarded in those days and ages. These aren't the leaders of the temple that Jesus said. You know, wouldn't that make sense if Jesus is going to get these people to go and do things? He was going to go pick the people that were the high-powered people in the town on that day. He might pick, you know, the leaders in the temple, the leaders of the government. But Jesus didn't. Who did he pick? He picked a couple of fishermen. Picked the guy that was hanging out underneath the tree. I know what he was doing. He picked a tax collector, who was probably one of the most popular people of the day, right? No, he picked the everyday people of this day and age. He's doing the same to us. He's not saying, my word for you to go out and do this is just for those trained pastors. It's not just for those that are trained to be a missionary to go out and do this. But he's calling you and he's calling me to go out and share his love and share his word. In Matthew 10, we continue on and we see that, as we reviewed last week, Jesus has the power and authority over those four things that we talked about, over sickness, over death, over demons, and over nature. We heard that Jesus has the power to overcome so many different things. But today we hear something new, maybe a little bit fresh, that the words he has to his disciples saying, you go do this. He's telling them that they've learned, they've been sitting and listening to him for a while now, but now, you know, the whole last couple of chapters, we've been hearing what was often referred to as the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount, right? And he's teaching them, but he's now saying, now go and proclaim this message. And we hear he says, the kingdom of heaven is near. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. He continues on, he says, heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse those who have leprosy. Drive out demons. Freely you've received, freely you give. That's exactly the same list. Well, pretty close that we just learned about last week, isn't it? Jesus has the power over those, but now he's saying, you go do these things. You've been my students. You've been my disciples. Now you're my apostles. What does it mean to be an apostle? Well, if we look in the dictionary definition first of a disciple is a pupil of the doctrines of somebody else. So that makes sense, right? We're disciples of Jesus. We're a pupil. We're studying what Jesus is teaching us. But now he's saying, you are my apostles. Previous to this day, those following Jesus were his pupils, those following him. But now he's saying, go out and become his apostles. If you look at what the word apostle means, you start out in the Greek, it stands for apostolos. One sent forth as an ambassador, somebody that is sent out to be the ambassador for Christ. So he is now having us be his apostles, be his ambassadors, his examples. An apostle is a ministry that's sent out directly by God to do a specific word. And he's telling us, you are now my apostles. You are now my people to go out with the power and authority to do these things. Now, if it were me, and again, I'm not Jesus, and sometimes my plans seem better. But, Luke, as we study, Luke was what? Did anybody know what Luke was? What was his profession? Doctor. So, if it were me, who would I have picked to go heal the sick? A doctor. Maybe Luke. Now, he wasn't one of the 12, but, I might pick Luke to go heal the sick, because that would make a lot more sense, right? Or maybe Peter, because, Peter, he could have the power over nature, because we talked about power over nature. Peter could walk on the water, right? Right? But, he didn't. He says to all of his disciples, you go, heal the sick, cleanse those that have leprosy, raise the dead. He's telling that to you and to me. Now, I told you about the struggles in my life recently, and some of you were here on Thanksgiving Eve, and I shared with you some of the things that were really cool that were going on in the lives of my family. I shared with you how Angela was hurt pretty bad through volleyball. Her ankle was torn up, and after going to the doctor, they said, yeah, you're going to have to go to the orthopedic surgeon. You're not playing volleyball for a whole long time. Orthopedic surgeon put her in an air cast and said, you know what, you're on crutches now for a couple weeks. You're done for at least 2 weeks. The next evening, we went and prayed with Jim Ross here in pastor's office. She walked into his office, in pastor's office, on crutches. After praying, Angela walked out. She was healed. Her ankle was better. It was really cool because it wasn't just feeling better, but it was visible. You could see the difference in her ankle, how the Lord healed her ankle. I shared with you about my daughter Elizabeth, how she had a heart issue that the doctor identified, and then after praying, when we went back to the doctor's office, the doctor says, well, the specialist at U of M for the heart, pediatric cardiology, says, I don't know why you're here. Everything is normal and everything is fine. I mean, praise God for these things. But for me, I would always say, that's for somebody else to pray over my daughter. That's for somebody else to heal. Is that what this Bible passage is saying? Now, we thank Jim Ross because he is willing to share his gifts with us and Marcia to pray over my family and to use the gifts of the Holy Spirit through them with the gift of healing. And if that's something he's more than willing to do, to pray with you after communion today. We have prayer warriors that have that gift. But God is not just saying, Jim and Marcia and others can pray to me. He's saying, you do. I do. You have that power. Go out as kids of the kingdom and use that. It never became more evident in my life than just last week. Some of you might have heard, and she's not real excited that I'm going to share this, but my wife, 2 weeks ago, was in the bathroom there, and it was floors wet or something, and slipped trying to help my daughter onto the toilet and broke her tailbone. She sat through the service. She's still struggling with that a little bit, but Jim and Marcia came and prayed with her. But then Jim did something to me, thank you, that he made me sit down in front of her and do what he calls affectionately as the leg thing. And I prayed with my wife, and I prayed with her, and there was noticeable difference, a visible difference that helped her. God worked through me in His Holy Spirit to help heal my wife. Now she still struggles with some of the pain. The tailbone is still broken. But it still helped her tremendously. Disclosure, full disclosure. It's hard for me still to remember that. In my mind, I think I still need to go pray with Jim and Marcia to help heal her and help her feel better. But God is still coming out to me and reaching out to me and saying, you know what? You have that power to heal. You have that power to go out and change the world and use that example to show that I have power. These disciples went out, and when they healed people, what happened? Did people go, oh, that's cool, all right, and move on in life? Did they? No. What was happening in the beginning of Acts? Their areas, their neighborhoods were on fire for the Holy Spirit. We talk about changing this campus, changing the EMU campus for the Lord. We talk about changing Ypsilanti. We talk about changing Washtenaw County. But who needs to do that? Is it other people? No, the Holy Spirit is looking at you and He's looking at me. God is saying here in Matthew 10, He's saying, you have the power. You have the ability to go out through my Holy Spirit and heal the sick. Use that. Show my power. Bring people to me. Let them know about me. It's the Super Bowl Sunday today, and I'm sure many of you, if not all of you, have some sort of special plans today, even if you could care less about the New York Giants and the New England Patriots. But being that it's Super Bowl Sunday, I'm sure you've heard a little bit about football in the last couple weeks. Maybe. One of my favorite stories is the story of Tim Tebow. Anybody heard of Tim Tebow? Now, my sons particularly think he's really cool because, as my sons are, he was homeschooled growing up. Some little-known facts about Tim Tebow, though, is he was born in the Philippines. And when he was born in the Philippines, his mother came down, and she came down with a life-threatening infection, which was a pathogenic amoeba. That's why I had to make sure to look at my notes because I didn't know what that was exactly. But anyways, the doctors looked at that and said, you know what? You would be much better off, Mrs. Tebow, if you aborted your fetus. She didn't. As Tim Tebow grew up as a homeschool family, he moved to Florida eventually. Just before he was able to go to high school, the state of Florida changed some laws. And they said that athletes that are homeschooled can play sports in the local community schools. And so even though he was homeschooled, Tim Tebow was able to play football on some of the high school teams. When he was recruited very heavily, he always prayed, always gave all the glory to God. This is somebody that may not have made it to life had he been aborted, but he did. He was the youngest of five kids, and youngest kids usually get picked on a bit, so they're a little bit stronger than the others, right? You guys in the big families know what it's like as the young ones to get picked on and beat up. No? Well, finally, Tim Tebow was recruited very heavily by the state of Florida, the University of Florida, and one of the biggest things that he did was in the bowl game where they won the national championship, on his eye black, he had John 3:16 in his eye black as a witness in his hopes to change the world, to show people that God has a plan and a purpose for you. Ironically, Tim Tebow did win the national championship. Things went well for him. He got drafted a lot higher than anybody expected, and he went to Denver Broncos. As a rookie, he sat the bench. He got to play in a couple games, scored a couple touchdowns, surprised some people when he did play. But there was a bunch of quarterback controversies at the beginning of this year. A lot of fans liked Tim Tebow because Tim Tebow is a very good guy. He's a super nice guy, and people obviously like that. And a lot of the Christian community, especially in Denver and in around Denver, where he played football for the Broncos, really wanted this Christian good guy to play. There's countless stories of how he would spend hours and hours signing autographs, and didn't matter who it was for, he would just be nice and sign autographs and say hi to people when nobody else would. Well, finally he became the starter this year, and even though he performed horribly, somehow he won games. Some people say the defense did it. Some people say there was something supernatural going on. Some people say the other team was throwing the games. But miraculously, I don't remember all the stats, but there were game after game, I think it was six in a row, that were won right at the end of the game, whether it was in the fourth quarter and the final drive to tie it and then to win it in the overtime. But he won game after game after game. It brought some prominence to Christianity and football, because the one thing that Tim Tebow did, is now known as Tebowing, was he would kneel and pray after every game or after good plays, touchdowns, and that sort of thing. Well, in the first playoff game, Tim Tebow wasn't expected to win. He was playing against the Pittsburgh Steelers, who had a much better record than the Denver Broncos and had a very good defense. Well, something amazing happened again. Tim Tebow, well, as typical Tim Tebow, didn't have a great game. But at the end of the game, he was able to have a drive, and they tied the game, and they went to overtime. First play of the game, what happened? Tim Tebow threw a touchdown, 85 yards, to win the game. If you look at the stats and things that happened after that game, you'll find that Tim Tebow had his career-high passing yardage of 316 yards. He set a record for a 31.6 yards per completion. This was exactly 3 years to the day of winning the national championship, when he had the eye black that said what? Oh yeah, and at the height of the game, just before the overtime game was completed, 8 o'clock, the TV rating was also 31.6. Kind of ironic. If I can have the video pop up there. Focus on the Family then very quickly jumped on that and put together a video that I'd like to share with you. Wow, I like that. That's my favorite part of the whole thing. But that was the video that Focus on the Family put together for a commercial that played the next week during all the football games. But even before that video was out, after throwing for 316 yards, after the TV rating of 31.6, after the 31.6 yards per completion, do you know what the most heavily Googled thing was the very next day, all day Monday? John 3, verse 16. The second most highly Googled thing? Tebow. The third most highly rated thing? Tim Tebow. Did God use Tim Tebow, somebody that could have been aborted, to save his mother's life, who she did survive, by the way, to share God's love with others? Just a little bit. And he continues to. You know what? Tim Tebow is just one example. Tim Tebow is just one person that God used. It's pretty neat to look at Tim Tebow and say, wow, God did use him, but he's not the only person. Tim Tebow was used by God to share his love, to share John 3:16, which is an amazing passage in the Bible, which sums up exactly what God has to say. When we look at that and say, God sent his son, look at my sons, and I'd have a struggle with that. To die? To suffer for us? When you think about that, you can agree with that little girl at the end and say, wow. But even more amazing is that God looks at us as his children, looks at us now as his apostles, his ambassadors, and says, you go, because I'm giving you that power. I'm sending you my Holy Spirit, that you can go out and you can share that love with others. It's not just Tim Tebow. It's not just pastors. It's not just missionaries, but it's you and it's me. God has blessed us with that opportunity. Do you have a plan to do that? Do you have a focus to do that? The passage in 1 Corinthians talks about a race that's being run, and having that focus and that vision to complete the race. It's not just making it to death in the rat race of life, but it's the race to win the hearts of other people. It's a race to share Jesus' love. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. He wants you and He wants me to know Jesus and everybody around. And He wants us to be His ambassadors to share that love. Will you answer that call? Are you going out and doing that? Are you using the power that He has given you to share His love? Remember that in that passage as He says, go. As kids of the kingdom, you have His power. Amen.